Welcome to my Father's House podcast, episode 50, Free in the Spirit. Enoch Paul delivered this message on November 25th, 2018.
Speaks about the Holy Spirit. And so I asked the Lord, when he asked me this, I went to the Lord and asked, what do you want me to talk about? What aspect of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, it's a laughable question because, yeah, you know, it's like define God and give three examples, you know. Okay. How do I go about it? So the best thing is go and ask him, you know. What about you that you want me to talk about? So I always love the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's just awesome, you know, supernatural. Who doesn't want, you know? I mean, you watch every movie they're making, you know, Captain America and this and that and the... You know, all the action. Everybody loves power and action and all of that. So the gifts was appropriate, but the Lord said, no, you're not going to talk about that. It's like, say what? You know, and he said, no, you're going to talk about the fruits. So I'm going to talk today about the fruits. Doesn't seem too exciting. Fruits, yeah, you know. We talk about being Fruit Loops, you know. You know, we all get nuts about fruits, you know. But God wants us to be fruits. So I'm going to talk about the fruits. So... And I sat down and jotted everything he dictated to me. So I might have to sometimes read through what I wrote, you know. So I'm going to talk about the fruits. And very simply, in three different topics about the fruits of the Spirit. The nature of God revealed in the fruit. Number two, the weapons of our choice. How can we use the fruits as weapons? You didn't think about that as the weapons. And the third and the last, how to engage the fruits. Because if you have fruit and you don't eat it, they get rotten, spoiled. So God wants us and gives us fruit so we can engage it. Engage within ourselves, engage with each other, engage with the world outside. So that's the three things that I'm going to talk about, the three aspects I'm going to touch on the fruits of the Spirit. So, the fruit, the Holy Spirit is so marvelous. He's got so many things. He's like a well-polished diamond. And every time you turn, there's a new facet that we see about him. And I mean, you can sit there and, you know, just marvel at him and look at everything he has to say, every aspect, every topic. And you spend the whole day, your whole lifetime learning about him. And so, you know, sometimes we just have to say, enough, Lord, I'm done. I'm full today. I want to chew on what I have. If you know, was last week I was talking about how, you know, the symbol of the Holy Spirit is the dove, you know, and dove, a very genteel a bird, you know. But did you know that the dove on both its wings has nine sets of main feathers that gives it perfect balance? I believe that there's a reason for that, because the nine fruits of the Spirit are balanced by the nine gifts, and the nine gifts are balanced by the nine fruits. And I, for some, you know, I do believe that if you look at it, the fruits are probably a lot more important than the gifts. And the reason I say that, I'm not trivializing gifts, because the gifts are given to you as a gift. It doesn't matter who you are. That's why some of the preachers, you know, they fall in sin, you know, they mess up here and there financially or, you know, in relationships. But it doesn't mean that, you know, they work. God works through them, has given them the gift. God, when he gives you a gift, he's not going to take it back because you're in bad behavior. Right? How many preachers have fallen and God has redeemed them and they have still worked in their area of gifting? So remember that the gifts are given to us, and it's not given to us because we deserve it, because it's not a gift then. But the fruit is important. The reason is they sustain the gift. It builds character inside you so you are effective in those giftings. And the gift is given, but the fruit you have to practice. So that's why it's important. The wedding is free. Marriage, you got to work at. A lot of people get ready for the wedding. They're not ready for the marriage, right? So that's why I'm saying the marriage is more important. So you get my point. I'm not saying the gifts are not important. They are very important. In fact, they are equally important. But the fruit helps you get that gift in a level where it not only benefits you, but it benefits others. Amen. All righty. Okay. Let me start with prayer. He just reminded me. Don't you need the Holy Spirit? Amen. Father, we love you. We bless you. We thank you. You are so good. You are marvelous. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I love you. I love you so much. You are just magnificent. You are marvelous. You are just lovely. There is no one like you, and I'm so glad for that. You have sent your son, Jesus, and he is another one. Oh, my goodness. He is so lovely. I love you, Jesus. I love you so much. I love you. Yes, I do love you. Thank you so much. And I thank you that you deposited your Holy Spirit in each one of us. And I thank you that you speak to us. We are your sheep. You have declared it. It is said. It is done. I just need to clean my ears a lot to hear you, O Lord. So help us to hear what you have to say today. Shut me off because there's nothing good in me in and off of myself. But everything I have is you. And when you speak, oh God, thank you so much that things can happen. So Holy Spirit, I welcome you. I pray you'd make it concise. You know how I am. You make it concise, you make it perfect, and make it pointed so it goes into the very depth of our soul, and that we all can take something tangible, including me. And when it is all said and done, we will have a new level of seeing your fruits working in our lives. We thank you for that. We got it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's start with something light. So, a kindergarten teacher was walking around her classroom while her students drew pictures. One little girl was scribbling so intently that the teacher asked what she was drawing. The little girl replied, "I'm drawing a picture of Jesus." The teacher said, "Oh, honey, nobody really knows for sure what Jesus looked like." The little girl looked at her without missing a beat, responded, "They will in a minute." Believe it or not, regardless of your level of knowledge and experience with Jesus, we are displaying Jesus to others.
Amen.
We are displaying Jesus to others. Whether you're a brand new baby Christian who just got born again yesterday, or you've been walking with the Lord for 25 years, it doesn't matter. We are displaying Jesus in some form or fashion. And as we walk with him, we get changed. We get changed little by little. So it's important to know that first and foremost. So when we look at God, you know, coming down to us, you know, I love the fact that in Genesis chapter 1, you know, we read about the creation account. And I was reading about this and I've never seen this. It's like Jesus just wrote it like, you know, a few days back. I was like, I've never read that in the Bible. You still keep writing that, Lord? So here's the thing. I read Genesis chapter 1. And something, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the unknown, the chasm, you know. He was hovering over the deep waters. I said, okay, that's the Spirit of God. And then I read about how God said, let there be. And then in John, we read about, in the beginning was the Word. It's like, wow, all three were there. The interesting thing is, in verse 26, Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. So on and so forth. See, the true nature of God is evidenced in the fruit of the Spirit. I'm throwing this out for consideration. The true nature of God is evidenced in the fruit of the Spirit, because it is the character of the relationship between the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Because we read that God is love, right? 1 John 4:8 and in verse 16 also, that God is love. God is love, right? Amen. So in the beginning when he was creating, who was he loving? He can't love himself. Oh, I love me so much. I adore me. Who was he loving? There has to be a community. There is the community in the Trinity. Three persons. They had to love each other. If there was no love, there was no love to give. Right? Okay. Did I lose you all?
No.
No, you got it, right? Okay, got it. So God is love because there was a community in the Trinity in the beginning. The second thing I noticed, what he said, you know, let there be light, and there was light. And then he goes on, you know, let there be an expanse, and he says, let the waters be gathered together, and says, let. And then he says, let us make man in our image. Our? Who are we talking about? I thought it was just one person. There is a community. So recognize that there is the personhood of the Father, Jesus, you know, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the beginning. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Let me throw this out again. What if the fruit of the Spirit is the nature of God, that they loved each other, they had patience, they agreed with each other, they were one totally. And when God said, let us make man in our image, what if that's exactly what he gave us? What if that's exactly what he gave us? All of the fruit, the image, the very image of who God is in his nature, he gave to us. Because we read in 1 John 4:17 about Jesus, as he is in heaven now, so are we here on earth. In other words, all of his nature that he has at this very moment is in us.
Amen.
I don't wear a cape, but I'm Superman. Right?
Yes. Amen.
There's no difference. Right now, this very moment, God sees and looks at each one of us, and he sees you just like Jesus. That's the word justified. Just, you know, it's like just like Jesus, just like you've not sinned. It's like perfect. That's why I remember this. What was that? 3 days back, I got up very late, you know, because it was one of the few days that I get off. So I got up late. Well, got up late, but the kids are all waking up, and there goes my quiet time. I was like, I didn't have my quiet time. I remember when I was a baby Christian, I'd be so guilty, you know, feel condemned, like, I didn't spend time, like, God's not happy with me. So I'm going to go to the bathroom, take a shower or something, and I hear him, you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I said, you know, I've come a long way from performance oriented, you know, to permitted. I am permitted. I am always permitted. I like that movie, Esther. Remember Esther?
Yes.
When she comes in and the king gets up and puts his scepter. This is one of my favorite stories. I could read that book over and over. You know, I haven't read it for a long time. I should probably read. I love the fact that when you come into the king's presence without permission, your head is chopped off. No questions asked. Don't care who you are. But the king says, accepted.
Amen.
What do you want? It's given.
Amen.
Lord, I want, have at it. I haven't asked, Lord. I know, have at it. I know all things. Have at it. That's the permission he gives you. So I heard this. You are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I said, didn't you tell that to Jesus? Like, yeah, you're just like him. Do you realize this way you stand with God? You don't stand below him. You stand with him. In fact, you stand in him. So when God sees you, he sees Jesus. So that is our place. That is his nature. But he's also given that to you and is displayed through the fruits. Are you all tracking here?
Yes.
All right. So we now know that the fruit is basically the nature of God. That's what he practices. By the way, all the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, he practices with you.
Amen.
If he didn't have self-control, you're gone. Fifth time, wrong. And that's how people have an image of God, that he's somebody behind you with a baseball bat. You know how wrong that is? You know how wrong that is? That you would take the most loving being in the entire universe and think of him that way. A lot of people in church, it's so sad, have a very wrong view of God. Do you remember the sermon I'm on about changing the mindset? Do you remember that a few months back? Hey, kingdom mindset. We sometimes need a brand new mind. The reason is we have to sometimes take what religion teaches or denominations teach.
Oh, we sprinkled, you know.
I sprinkle, I call the shower, you know. Or you know, we dunk three times, you know, drown the guy, you know. He's like, praise God. You know, we so conform so many times to traditions and the way we do it and how we do. We are not, we are so much into religion, but God desires a relationship.
Amen.
And when you come to that place of a changed mindset and think like Jesus, which is another point I'm going to make, because now you have the nature of God, and how about now you start thinking like God?
Amen.
So the thinking connects with the nature. Oh my goodness, that's dunamis. You know what dunamis is? Dynamite, explosive.
Yes.
Now we are spirit-led and not soul-led.
Right.
I'm going ahead. Anyway. Okay. So you get my point. So now these fruits are our weapons.
Yeah.
Now we can use these weapons to victimize the world. Seriously. I victimize my wife with kindness. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She victimizes me with self-control because, yeah, she needs it with me. So this is our privilege. Now, you might know this, but when I discovered that the fruit was not something to be set on a basket on the table, but to be used, and the more I use it, the more I get it, the more I get it, the more I replenished with it, and it keeps moving more and more, and it goes from beyond just the confines of my house to my neighborhood, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. That's Acts 1:8. You shall receive power. What are we talking about? What power? The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the power, the dunamis, is exactly that. It goes from where you are to the uttermost parts of the world. So, let's go through. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go through each fruit. And I'm going to talk about it. Everything that the Lord jotted down. I need this, so I'm going to read it. Number one, love. Love is basically the very nature of God. It is the very nature of God. It is the very essence of who God is. Love is the supreme life force that actually produces faith. We know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. But without love, there is no faith. A lot of people, especially baby Christians, I tried this too. I want to have faith. I want to have faith. I want to have faith. I want to have, you know, you're trying to you squeeze the faith out of your body. You're trying it. It's like you got constipation or something. Faith doesn't work like that. And when I realized that faith happens because of love, I was like, how in the world? I'll tell you, and I give you an example. My little baby, the 1-year-old, she's eating food at the dinner table nowadays. And she's, you know, covered with blueberries, you know, chicken, turkey, gravy. I mean, everything. It's a smorgasbord. It's like Chinese buffet in front of her. And she's like all dirty. And then when she's done, regardless of others, if others are done or not, she gets up on the table, climbs up. So guess what? Mommy, daddy have to leave their turkey and go hold her. But here's the thing. I have not come close to her. I'm just stepping in. She just opens her arms and jumps. Who taught her that? Now that's faith. Did she generate it? Did she learn it from someplace? No, she hasn't read the Bible. Seriously. But she knows, Daddy loves me. He's going to catch me. Amen. Oh my goodness, what if we had faith like that? Amen. Faith is birthed out of love. Don't focus on faith. Focus on love. Amen. Will the most loving being who gave himself, died, while I was still a sinner and I cussed at him, spit at him, you know, put my fist on his face like, ah, he still loved me and died for me. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. If love is the motivating factor, faith will come because he's not going to let me down.
Amen.
Yeah? Without love, there is no faith. That's Galatians 5:6. Faith is born out of love, and hope is the byproduct of faith. So remember this, from love comes faith, from faith comes hope. Got it? If faith is the assurance, then hope is the anticipation. Love is supreme because only out of love does faith arise, and hope looks forward by faith. So now I have faith because of love. Faith says, boom, this is going to happen. I have now anticipation. I have my hopes up. Why? Faith said it. Why do I have that? Because love is there. You get the connection? 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now these three remain. Everything is gone. Everything's said and done. There are only three things remain. Faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love. Why? Because God is not faith. God is not hope. But God is
love.
So you see how love is the beginning? Hey, God so loved the world that he
gave.
Faith is believing God's word. Hope is expecting its fulfillment in the future. But God is love. Can't get any better than that. Can't go beyond that. That's where the buck stops. God is love. God is not about love. He is love. People will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. That was Maya Angelou. True love touches the very core of your being. That's why it never fails. Alrighty, we got that?
Yes.
Number two, joy. Joy is the abiding atmosphere of heaven. Think about what's happening in heaven. Close your eyes. Lord, open our spiritual eyes. Think about it. They're having a party up there. They're having a party. It's like worship going on. By the way, you know, some churches, you know, worshipers like, wow, you can actually sleep through them. Not in heaven. It is the atmosphere of heaven. It is the tangible presence of God in your life. See, joy is who God is. Rejoicing is our response to who God is. Joy is who God is. Right? Rejoicing is our response to who God is. Jesus talked about joy when he rose again. Rejoice! Boosh! It's our response. It asks for a response. Rejoice is who is our response to who God is. And I can look at a person, whether Christian or not, or pre-Christian, I can look at a person and I can see if they have real joy in them. A person who does not rejoice is devoid of the joy of the Lord. So joy is the intense pleasure of all things good. All things good. God is good, right? Psalm 119:68 says, God is good and all that he does is good. He is good. He is the epitome of goodness. Therefore, joy is the intense pleasure of the presence of God. Sometimes, we as Christians, kingdom people, don't really exhibit that. We get so soaked up in the environment of the world. By the way, the environment of the world is negative, sarcastic. Just look at the news. Negatives, you know, sarcastic, hurtful, remorseful, attacking. But we don't live in the environment of the world. We bring the atmosphere of heaven down. And we push the environment of the world out. Yeah? Joy produces endurance and it strengthens us until we overcome and reign in all situations. There is no weapon formed that can push joy out. You can be joyful even in the worst situation around you. That's why Paul and Silas, they were singing songs when they were imprisoned, beaten up. They were singing songs. So much so that the explosion of joy from within them of who God is in them broke the walls, caused the earthquake, and they got released. And not just that, the jailer and his whole family got saved. What must I do? I'm here trying to put you in the prison. What must I do was his response. You see, joy can change things like that. Right. Choose joy. Amen. Choose joy. And we'll find out how to use that. Because it says in Hebrews 12:2, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer or the author and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set out for him, he endured the cross. Now, the cross is no joke, folks. Is no joke. But he saw something beyond. So what does joy do? Joy looks at God and says, this is who you are to me. I'm taking it to the bank. This current circumstances is not going to push me. It's not going to shake me. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on you and walk through it. That is joy. Are we all good? Number 3, peace. I better hurry. Peace is a quiet state of mind. It is what? It's a quiet state of mind. It's a quiet state of mind. It is an encounter with Jesus that brings rest and quietens your soul. It's an anchor that keeps you stable in the midst of the storm. Peace. Peace is connecting with the attitude of Jesus that overwhelms the attitude of panic and worry. So in other words, in very simple terms, when you have a situation that comes up your way, what is the first thing you do? Do you panic and worry? Or do you say, he said, peace be still. I'm going to take that to the bank. Because your first reaction literally tells you your condition. And I'm not trying to say, you know, you're a bad Christian. I'm just saying maybe we need to practice more peace. And the more you practice, you'll get a lot of chances. Remember? I think last month I said that, hey, this is a great word. Now guess what? You get to practice. Beloved, that is the joy of the Lord, that he gives you those things to practice, because practice makes perfect. I'll tell you one thing. If you forget all the sermon, you know, what I'm preaching, forget everything. You are alive. You are born. You are here. You are not dead yet. You're here. Your end has already been fixed. I got a great mansion. Amen. The first thing I'm doing when I go get in heaven, jump on him. Seriously, I'm going to seriously jump on him, on his lap, sit there for a while. And then I'm going to say, I'd like to take a tour of the heaven, you know, all those things. I'm going to ask a lot of questions. I have a whole agenda. So my end is set. Where I am right now is set. We might as well practice. There's nothing to lose. There's nothing to lose. We might as well practice and get better and better. Because guess what? In heaven, you'll be filled with the fruit. Right?
Amen.
So let's labor here and practice. Because when you practice, you become just like Jesus more and more. That's the process of sanctification. But guess what? The most important thing, you give that to others. So before we leave this earth, let's make a little more Jesus around us. Yeah? Let's forgive people and let's make everybody Jesus around us, because then guess what? They go around giving Jesus to others. So we are on the third point, peace. It's an anchor that keeps you stable amid the storm. Peace is connecting with the attitude of Jesus. Sometimes you might have to just ask, Father, I feel that I am getting upset here. What's your attitude here? And then because you are his sheep, he will say, this is my attitude. And he'll explain it to you. And you'll say, huh, that seems much better. And then you get to practice. You adapt it to your situation. It's fun. Seriously. It's not fun at the moment. Later on, it's fun. You can ask my wife. Peace overwhelms any and all storms. Nothing can shake peace. That's guaranteed. Jesus, sleeping in the stern of the boat, was at perfect peace. You know why? He knew who God was for him. God sent me for a purpose. I haven't yet saved the world by dying on the cross. I am not dying by drowning.
Right. Amen.
Snoring away. But what did the disciples do? Don't you care? We're drowning? Aren't we sometimes like that? Don't you care, Lord? I don't have money to buy groceries. Don't you care, Lord? I'm sick for so many days. We question God's attitude towards us. In fact, we need to have an attitude check so many times. But if you see God the way he is, who's loving, benevolent, we don't question God. We turn to that problem and say, get out in Jesus' name right now. My little girl, I guess she's the examples this day, today. She had a fever, was it last week or so? And, you know, as parents, you really don't want to see that. Right. Moaning, crying, hot. So I was in the kitchen washing dishes. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, washing dishes. I get a lot of brownie points, though. And so Tina is obviously, she's a distress, not wanting to see the baby, you know, in distress, in sick. She brings it to me. And you know, the first thing is like, Lord, why? You know? Then the kingdom mindset kicks in. And I said, I turn around from like, how dare you? I'm talking to the sickness. Yes. How dare you? So I don't tell God how big my mountain is. I tell the mountain how big my God is.
Amen.
That's the kingdom mindset. So I'm practicing. Turn around. I was like, what in the world? How did that come from? I should be careful. I lay my hands on her and I start praying in tongues. I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm praying in the Spirit. While I'm praying, I'm having a conversation with the Lord. And something rises inside. Rebuke it. And I rebuke it. It's like, you take your dirty hands off of my daughter. She is the redeemed of the Lord, because I am the redeemed of the Lord. I'm the head of this family. I'm under the blood. So you better get up.
Amen.
Now. Not giving you tomorrow. Now.
Amen.
She got healed.
Amen.
I said,
hallelujah.
She got healed. Seriously.
Hallelujah.
And she was like playing around, smiling around, and the fever left. And the fever left. And I was thinking, I'm so glad I could practice that. It was fun. Not that, you know, somebody gets sick and like, please, Lord, let them be sick so I can pray. No, no, you don't do that. But you have fun with Jesus. So the important thing here I'm trying to say is get the attitude of Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus, he got up. Oh, you have little faith. One version says, well, one of the gospels says, oh, you have no faith, little faith. And he gets up. Rebukes the wind, peace, be still. And they're like marveling, who is this person? Even the winds and the waves obey him.
Amen.
Peace, when you are surrounded by peace, you can very well look at the storm and say, peace, be still. Amen?
Amen.
Choose peace every time by abiding in the Prince of Peace. Are we all good? Yes. Patience. Patience, oh my goodness, we need patience. Patience is the delight in waiting for Him and knowing that a favorable outcome is guaranteed because we are His habitation. Because we are His habitation. He lives inside of me. So I can be patient. In other words, remember I gave you the example, our end is already determined, right?
Yes.
Right? So if something happens to me in a situation, a circumstances, something, maybe even sickness, and I ask the Lord, He gives me the word, I can be patient because I know the end result. That's it. God gives you the end result. When I go and give my, at the airport, I have an accreditation examination. I think it's so unfair because the Holy Spirit reveals everything to me ahead. I know the result. I know it already. And that's the fun part of walking with Jesus. He already tells you the answer. You just have to walk and practice. Amen. You just have to walk and practice. So patience is that virtue that helps you stay your course and not take detours, shortcuts, because He's already put a path before you and a goal. That is patience. It's the delight in waiting. I know sometimes we as Christians, we become impatient. By the way, there are opposites to each of the fruit, and there are multitudes for each fruit. There is multitudes that I can actually read out in one of my notes. But I want to tell you, we can sometimes get impatient in our walk. Oh Lord, it's been like 3 years I've been praying. When God healed me, He said, 3 years. You know, when my pancreas was shutting, God said, I'm the God who heals. He gave me a vision, actually. So I knew. He already gave me the goal. That's where I'm heading to. I'm like, great, let's do it, Lord. I want to go eat donuts and this and that and all of the junk food. And God said, no, 3 years. I said, 3 years, why? He said, because you have to learn it. You have to practice it. Because then one day you will teach others. Now, if I had immediately got it, I wouldn't have valued it. Aren't you glad you both waited? For a long time. It wasn't fun. But that moment when things got set together is the sweetest moment. I love the song. Who sang it? Keith Green. He talks about the second coming and the wedding. Ah, man, I should have got that song. Anyway, it's a sweet moment when our bridegroom, Jesus, would come and we as the bride would meet Him. Amen. By the way, the reason we practice these fruits, because Jesus is coming for a bride who has no spot or wrinkle. I like the fact that He's looking at the Father and saying, no, no, not that one. Too many spots, too many wrinkles. Can we delay our second coming? Let's let them keep practicing. Slowly the bride is getting ready. Slowly she's getting ready. Slowly she's getting ready. Hey, if we get that mindset that we have to practice this, it's a delight. That's why patience is a delight. It's like, oh God, it's how long am I waiting? No. Waiting on the Lord is a delight. Amen. I would love to be in the presence of God all the days of my life, the psalmist said. So it's a delight. Patience is a delight. Patience helps us wait for the fulfillment of God's promise. Has God promised you something? Then He's telling you, be patient because I am going to fulfill it. Is waiting on God's promises with earnest expectation. Patience, therefore, is the right soil for real growth in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Did we get that? Next one, kindness. Kindness means, I got to rush through this. Kindness means a way of thinking that leads to doing thoughtful deeds for others, especially for those who don't deserve it. It's a way of thinking that leads to doing thoughtful deeds for others, especially for those who don't deserve it. Kindness is humbly giving of ourselves in love and mercy to others who may not be able to give anything back and who frequently don't thank us for it. God practices kindness. Romans 5:8. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died. That is the ultimate kindness. That kindness was intended to turn us away from sin. That's Romans 2:4. Only those born of God are capable of displaying true kindness. You cannot have true kindness without being a new creation in Christ. How did Jesus define kindness? Luke 6:35. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because God is kind to the ungrateful and wickedness. The greatest example of kindness is Jesus himself. Amen. Amen? We got to practice kindness. Next one, let me rush through. Goodness. My goodness, that's a big sermon in itself. Goodness. God, I was meditating on goodness 2 weeks back, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, goodness is nothing but Godness. Right? God is good. God is good. So if God is filled with the fruit of goodness, it's because it's Godness. I thought that was brilliant. It is becoming just like God in words, behaviors, actions, and reactions. The glory of God is in his unending goodness. What does Moses say? Show me your glory. And what did God say? Sure, I'll show you my glory. No, he said, I will let all my goodness pass. Maybe there's a correlation that the glory of God is in his unending goodness. If you get an encounter with the goodness of God, you're wasted. It's like you're tasted, you're wasted. Right. If you taste it, you're wasted. Yeah. The glory of God is in his unending goodness. Exodus 33:19. God says, I will make, when Moses asks, show me your glory, I will make all my goodness pass before you. See, David also, he was a man after God's own heart. And he recognized that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Psalm 23:6, all the days of my life. You know why? He tasted God's goodness. God's goodness is so profound to him. He was a shepherd boy, a nobody. Even his own father didn't consider him. When Samuel came to anoint, he brought all his strong big brothers. Do you have any more? Yeah, there's a runt of a kid over there. He's looking at this, taking care of the sheep. Seriously? Like, yeah. God looked at his heart. God lifted him up. Goodness does that. We are called to be good too. Goodness reflects God's life in you. You don't choose who you give goodness to. By the way, you don't give goodness to who deserve it, right? Because goodness is given to those who don't deserve it. I don't deserve it, but God gave me goodness. Amen. You don't choose goodness. That's a whole new sermon. But you get the point. We can practice goodness. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is the unchanging, unwavering nature of God. If anyone is faithful, it's God. That's why we stand before God and give our wedding vows, right? We give our wedding vows because, God, you are faithful. I need your grace to be faithful. It's the unchanging, unwavering nature of God. Faithfulness displays dependability. If you're faithful, you'll be a great employee, right? Yes. It implies stability and relentless devotion. One thing is guaranteed, beloved. regardless of what you do and how much you stray, God will always be faithful to you. That's a guarantee. It's in the Bible. That's His nature. That's why I say this. The days that I do well, He's like, wow, awesome. Pat on the back. Great, awesome. You know, the days that I don't do well, He doesn't come and condemn me. It's not in His nature.
Amen.
He comes and lifts me up. Oh, come on, you're better than this. You heard that? I've heard that. Oh, you're better than this. Really? I'm just feeling so down, like I messed up. No, you're better than this. Because I'm seeing Jesus in you. Jesus seriously is far better. You are just like Him. But I messed up. Get up. Brush it aside. Go and sin no more. No spanks? No. Go and sin no more. That's the love and benevolence He shows. That's how faithful He is. That's how faithful He is. Faithfulness, we're talking about faithfulness, relentless devotion. He's devoted to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass. He'll always bring it to pass. What He has promised, He will always bring it to pass. It's not based on your performance. It's based on His permission. And permission is granted regardless of who you are. Did you get that? Faithfulness is the assurance to fulfill what He has promised. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, the Lord is faithful and He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one.
Amen.
God is faithful because that is who He is. He can't go against His own nature.
Amen.
Sometimes He's like, this is who I am. And you have to take Him for granted. When God grants you something, please take Him for granted. Amen?
Amen.
So, when I do well, He approves me. When I don't do well, He accepts me. That is His stance. That's His stance. There is no guilt and condemnation in His nature.
Amen.
So He doesn't deal with that. How many times we put guilt and condemnation on other people? We can't practice that. So many times we go to the default man. I'll talk about that later on. The default man. We can choose the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, or we can choose the work of the flesh. By the way, we have practiced the work of the flesh. You are practicing, regardless of who you are. You are practicing something or the other. And what I'm trying to say in the sermon is, we have practiced the work of the flesh so many times, and then we got saved. Now, you have to start practicing engaging the fruit. Because if you do the work of the flesh every time, you're in a default mode. Default mode. Your wife takes you up and you're upset and angry and frustrated. Now, upset, angry, frustration, these are all the constructs of the world. What if I have patience, kindness, self-control, goodness towards that situation? Now I'm practicing. Now I can be Spirit-led. Why? Because I'm not working the soul part of my being. Do you get that? We'll talk about the default mode. Next one, gentleness, strength under control. Gentleness is strength under control. In other words, gentleness is controlled release of power to maximum effect. Controlled release of power to maximum effect. It's like the dam that holds the waters. And when it's needed, it slowly releases a little bit and they generate power. But if it releases everything all at once, that dam will break. All the villages or whatever in the plains will get flooded. There'll be devastation and death. But that dam protects the people who are in the lower parts of the valley and releases water little by little to generate power. That is a very good example of gentleness. Gentleness nourishes, lifts you up. It is pleasant. Proverbs 15:4 and Psalm 18:35. Gentleness is that part of God that lifts you up when you are down. It lifts you up when you are down. We are called to that. I don't call people out. I call people up, lifting them up to where Jesus is. I don't say, you know, pick and choose and say, look at you. How wrong. No. I don't want to do that. I lift people up. This is who Jesus is to you. You are better than that. Bring them up and show them who are in Christ. Don't show them who they are not. They already know it. So many times we go taking a, we are Bible thumpers, go and say, you sinner! Now, what's the point? They know it. But show them who Jesus is for them and who they can be in Jesus and bring them up. That is gentleness. It nourishes, lifts you up. It is pleasant. It's that part of God that lifts you up when you are down. It is that part of the nature of God that helps you course correct your way and realign yourself to the ways of the Lord. That's Galatians 6:1 and 2 Timothy 2:21. Gentleness provides true rest and peace. Jesus said this, the greatest example. Jesus said, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's Matthew 11:29. Last one, self-control. Self-control. It's the embrace of the Holy Spirit that calms your soul. That soul that is a will, mind, and emotion. It's the embrace of the Holy Spirit that calms your soul and activates your spirit with wisdom, knowledge, and an awareness of a higher way that is found in Jesus. In other words, I've tried this, and my mentor taught me that in Illinois, Southern Illinois. Said sometimes, you know, they have some friction, the wife and the hubby and the wife. And wife is upset. And he said, all I know to do is go behind her, put my arms around her, and just hug her. And she's like, leave me, you bozo. I don't want to talk to you. And he said this, and I thought it was, this is when our marriage counseling, he said, he calls me Paul. He says, Paul, sometimes I would hold her tightly for 15 straight minutes. And then the tenseness and the, you know, muscles would just relax. And she would release. She would turn, and then we would reconcile, have a conversation about reconciliation. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. Self-control is not that he comes and pushes your buttons and you're like a robot. You know, you're not doing things out of control. Self-control is, let's say if my wife, I gave an example last time, right, about my wife. She exercises self-control. But sometimes we become reactive. Mm-hmm. Reactive, we react like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, she rubbed me in the wrong way. How dare you? I'm the head of the family. I'll show you, you know. The Holy Spirit comes and hugs you and holds you and says, it's okay. It's okay. We react because we get hurt. We are people with emotions. We get hurt. But the Holy Spirit comes and kisses those away, and those hurts are no longer there. But then now we have His love to give back. And when you employ kindness, benevolence, goodness, you can change that situation all the way around. And I can give you example after example that the Spirit of God gives us that embrace because you're hurt. You're hurt. And He's like, I know you're hurt. Don't go hurting. Let me embrace you. Let me love on you. Let me give you comfort until you're fully comforted, until you're fully immersed in my love. And then I'm releasing you because now you are going with His love. That is self-control. And that's only found in Jesus. That place of strength where the Holy Spirit empowers your spirit to walk with Him. He empowers your spirit to walk with Him. The key to self-control is to step back into the Holy Spirit and know what He would do in that situation. And I'm practicing that. I am learning that. I am learning that day in and day out. The reason you're married to that person is so you can practice self-control. The reason you're working in that job is so you can practice self-control. The reason you have that lousy neighbor is so you can practice self-control. God's not a sadist. He's not putting things in front of you so you can be troubled. No, He's saying, let's become more like Jesus. The key to self-control is to step back. We have to practice that. I don't want to be impulsive. I want to step back. And because He is behind me, He says, come here, my love. And He just holds you. And sometimes I'll be vulnerable. Things happen between Tina and myself where I am upset. And I'm choosing frustration. I'm so frustrated. How? I want this. I'll give you an example. My wife, no, seriously, my wife is a saint. Seriously. I am becoming a saint with her. I'm already a saint in Jesus' eyes. So my wife, you all know, is very particular. And I'm so glad because of that, because I would not be half the man without her. You know, I'm glad for my wife, seriously. I would be lost and lonely like a gull on a rock. But sometimes, you know, I have to push her to make decisions. So we have this mitt, oven mitt. That's a particular kind. It's torn every time. Every time I open the oven and pull out something, I get burnt. 2 years. And every time I burn, I'm going, yeah! Oh! You know, I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm pretty sure that a lot of people are cussing around. I'm like, Lord, take that devil. That's exactly what you're getting. Hellfire is just like that and more. That's 500 degrees. You know, I'm going like that. Tina, honey, when are you going to get me a moment? Oh, it's in the cart on Amazon. The last 2 years it's been on Amazon, love. I'm getting burned. And I see her face drop. And I tell you, like, you can ask her. I'm not kidding you. And sometimes I'm like, Tina, this is too much. You got to get this. I'm exaggerating. I'm not screaming at her, you know. You got to get this. Love, I'm getting burnt. I got burns all over. I don't even have skin, you know. I mean, the chicken's burnt. My hand's burnt. And the Spirit of God says, hey, how about you practice some self-control? Self-control, Lord. My skin is getting burnt. I'm getting burnt. And you know, of course, I screamed at her. So she goes into the bedroom. This is where I practice. And I'm taking the chicken and all of that. And the Holy Spirit comes and embraces me. He says, I know. But that's because I'm teaching you self-control. I'm teaching you patience. Hey, 2 years I'm getting burnt. That's patience, I'll tell you what. I'm ready for 2 more years. But here's the thing. That's not the end. He says, go and reconcile and set her free. Do you remember that sermon? Yeah. We are called and given the fruit so we can go set people free. That was the mandate of Jesus, right? That's what He said in Isaiah. You know, the good news is given to me for what? To set the captives free. And I love this because I put my flesh down and say, flesh, this is not who you're going to be. I'm a spirit-led man. I'm spirit-fed, so I'm spirit-led. So I go and I say, kid you not, you can ask Tina. We've been married 10 years. In the beginning of our marriage, no. I would not go because I did not learn humility. and benevolence and give and don't receive. But I've come a long way. You can ask her.
Praise the Lord.
I can go and I would say, Tina, that was so wrong of me. I don't deserve this, but would you forgive me, please? And I sincerely mean it. And she says, really? It's like, yeah, I'm so sorry. I just gave her kindness. And then she says, I know, honey, I know I should have done this. Now, would I have got that if I said, you woman? When are you going to get a mitt? No. But see, when you practice kindness and benevolence and patience and give that, it lifts her up, sets her free. Now she will do anything and everything. Yeah. But what was that?
Do you have a new mitt?
No. Well, yes, she bought a new mitt. And guess what? It was too thin. I didn't like it. So God comes to me and whispers, hey, how about some more patience? I said, yes, I am becoming more like Jesus the last few days. I'm becoming more like Jesus. Sanctification is speeding up here. Praise the Lord. Honey, that color is so bad. And that mitt is so thin. Can we have another one? I'll look around more. I'm thinking, 2 more years? No. It's coming. If not, Jesus is going to come back and I'll have a great, nice hands.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. I tell you what, I love cooking. So yes, this is something that I'm learning. You know, seriously, this is how you practice.
That's right. Amen.
This is how you practice. This is how you do it. Here's the thing with Jesus. You can make a mess. You're free to. But don't stay there.
Amen.
I know who I am. I can be lousy without Jesus. But I don't stay there. I don't live there. I live in the mind of Christ. How does he see me? And I want to keep practicing that. You have got the mind of Christ. You got his spirit. I'm telling my soul, that's my will, mind, and emotion, follow him.
Amen.
I'm with him. We're making our marriage great again.
Amen.
That was a joke, anyway. I'm glad you all are out of news and politics. All right, let's close this. Self-control is not reacting to people and circumstances, but responding to who God is for you. Very, very, very important. Self-control is not reacting, but it is responding. It's not reacting to people and circumstances, situations, problems, troubles. It is responding to who God is for you. If you know who God is for you, you will learn to practice self-control every time. My goodness, I gotta finish this. Engaging the fruits. I'm gonna go very, very fast. When we are spirit-fed, then we are spirit-led. We have to employ the fruit of the Spirit to counter and disengage the works of the flesh. Everything the enemy seeks to bring against us can be turned around by moving in the opposite spirit. So think about it. If a situation comes your way, what is the opposite spirit? What is the opposite spirit? I'll give you a few examples. This was April 11th, 2018. Love, what's the opposite? Hatred, dissension, offense, reserved, putting up walls, selfishness, calculative, anger, wrath, quarreling. What's the opposite of joy? Being grumpy, unhappy, moody, short, snappy, rude, displeasure, depression, sadness, misery, mourning, complaining. Complaining is the worship language of hell. Quit complaining.
Amen.
Quit complaining. We are not called to complain. We are not called to complain. That's not in our vocabulary. We have to change our language, folks.
Yes, amen.
We got to change because we are kingdom people.
Yes.
We are only vulnerable to who God is. We are only vulnerable to what he gives us. I am not vulnerable to any sickness here. Sickness comes, I kick it out.
Amen.
Because I've been given the power, dominion, and authority to do so.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So we don't accept what comes our way. We push it.
Yes.
So you get the point. Peace. The opposite. Disturbance, disorder, confusion, conflict, violence, unrest, turmoil, frustration, anxiety. You get it. Every fruit has an opposite. Just don't choose it.
Right.
Just don't choose it. Be spirit-led.
Amen.
We just turn the tables around. Satan has no longer dominion over us. We now are harassing him. That's how we harass him, make him tired, wanting therapy. He runs away from us. Why? We are kingdom people. We employ the fruit and attack him and make him of no effect.
Amen.
There is no limitation, no negativity in the fruit of the Spirit. There is no law. That's what it says, Galatians 5:23. Against it, there's no law. There's nothing works against it. Nothing works against it. Nothing.
Amen.
So why do we stand and say, oh, this is not working? No. Change your vocabulary.
Right.
Something will work. Lord, what is it? Hear him and employ that. I got to close. I got to skip all of this. Let me finish with this. We are the bride of Christ. When Jesus, you said yes to Jesus, he put a ring on your finger. That is the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. Every time I look at a ring, I know who I belong to. I know what privileges I have, the rights I have. The fruit of the Spirit is yours. To practice. It is the nature of God. And as the bride of Christ, we are removing our spots and wrinkles as we practice the fruit of the Spirit daily in our lives. It's a fun thing. It is seriously a fun thing to see somebody set free, to see circumstances change, to see provision come because we just sat in patience and trusted God because he promised. Faithful is he. And we saw that situation. See, that is the ring that we wear because Jesus is the groom and the Spirit of God is our wedding ring, a sign, the seal unto the day of redemption. The last day when Jesus comes, he sees, you got the Spirit. Hey, you and I are one. We are called to that. So let me close in this. Let's practice the fruit of the Spirit. Study the fruit of the Spirit. Study, if you know there's one gift that you lack or you're not strong in, study that and practice till you become strong in that. You will harass Satan out of your dominion. You will put him to chase by the fruit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm sorry I had to skip a whole lot of things. But I hope you got the gist of what I'm saying. This is yours. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Are we breaking into groups? Yes, let's break into groups. And then we will come back. And I love to do Q&A. If you have any personal questions or application how to do it, we can go through that. Nothing is barred. You know, any question. There's no stupid question. Anyone?
We thought that the point about when faced with something negative like that or a situation, the advice to step back and step into the Spirit, so that kind of takes stepping out of the flesh and stepping back and practicing the self-control. Or love, or patience, or, you know, whatever would be needed in the situation. Stepping back out of our flesh and proceeding in the Spirit. And we thought that that was the best way to approach that.
Anybody else? Any questions?
I just want to say that your sermon was awesome, awesome, awesome. And God showed me that I am doing your sermon and I am practicing it And I just feel overjoyed.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.